Oh, your throne is a throne of holiness and majesty and power, and we come bowing before thee for your mercy and grace towards us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're undeserving sinners. We merit nothing but your wrath, but yet your wrath has been appeased by our mighty Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in absolute awe and wonder of your mercy towards us. We pray you be glorified and magnified today in the preaching of your word, and in all that we do, in Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Small chapter, short chapter, six verses, but there's so much here. But we'll be keying on verse 3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye praise the Lord. Shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And here before us in Scripture is a chapter which will give the believer strength and joy as we pilgrimage through this earth. And we see all through this chapter here that the Lord is our strength. The Lord is our strength. And he's our song, beloved. He has given us a new song. And now in Scriptures, we behold our wonderful, merciful Savior on every page. We turn through the Scriptures and we see him in types and in pictures. And we are in awe. Awe. And we know that everything of grace is fetched by faith from Christ. And it is in Christ alone that the wells of salvation spoken of in our text here are found. They're only found in Christ. They're not found anywhere else. They're not found in any of our works. They're not found in any one of us. But these wells of salvation are found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now think of this. Ordinances, baptism, the Lord's Supper, they're nothing without Christ. They're nothing without Christ, beloved. Because what do those ordinances do? They point us to Christ. They point us to Christ, right? The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of what our Savior's done for us. In baptism, right, we are declaring that we are Christ. We are His. He saved us. He redeemed us. He did it all. So without Christ, the ordinances are nothing. They're nothing. Oh, He alone, think of this too, He alone is the fountain and well of the believer's soul. He alone. Therefore, it says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now we know that all things living require water. Everything that lives requires water. Hence Christ is the water of life for the believer. For the believer. And he's also called the bread of life in Scripture. So basically, not basically, it's a fact, everything that the believer needs, sustenance-wise, is in Christ. Spiritually, they're all in Him. They're all in Him. Water is necessary to sustain life. And this is true whether we're referring to natural water or to that living water, the spiritual water that Christ gives us. And he, think of this, he's not only the source of spiritual water, he's the source of natural water too. It all flows from his creative hands. And the believers are saved and redeemed by the precious blood of he who is the water of life. He who is the water of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. One clear picture we have in Scripture is in John chapter 4. where a woman from Samaria went to fetch water, but little did she know. Now, she went to fetch water that day, right? But little did that woman from Samaria know that she had a divine appointment, beloved. That there was an appointment for her to meet the water of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. God had appointed this time. She's one of God's sheep. She's one of God's sheep. One of the ones given to Christ from eternity. And because of that, look what Christ says in verse 4. Verse 3 says this, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Why must he needs go through Samaria? Because there's not just one of his sheep there. There's a whole bunch of them there. And he must needs go there. He must. And just like there was a divine appointment for the Samaritan lady, for every believer, there's a divine appointment in our lives. When Christ reveals himself to us. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Note our Savior here has a divine appointment with one of his lost sheep. Look at verses 5 and 6. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now note here, he was wearied with his journey. This shows us our beloved Savior's humanity. There's his humanity. We know that he's deity, and he's going to tell this sheep of his that he is the Messiah. But here we see his humanity as well. He's wearied, beloved. He's wearied. He gets weary just like we get weary. Then there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. She's just coming to get water. She has no idea what's going to happen. Oh, my. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Because he's weary. He's thirsty. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Now, we know from study before that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have nothing to do with each other. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? She's thinking the natural water, but he's talking spiritual water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And look a little further down, and we see our Lord revealed to this poor sinner, this poor, needy sinner. And notice who sought out who. A seeking Savior, seeking the needy sinner. Right? She didn't seek Christ. She just came to get water. Oh, but look at this. The woman saith unto him, verse 25 and 26, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, I never get tired of reading that verse. Oh, it's amazing. He just told her who he was. He just revealed to that poor needy sinner who he was. He is the Messiah. Oh, so Christ is a fountain of gardens, of a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon to his people. And our Lord Jesus Christ tells this Samaritan woman that the water he gives will be to his people, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. My. Salvation's only in Christ and him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. Beloved of God, he has revealed himself in Scripture to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Of our faith. He's also shown himself to be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things. And all things are under His sovereign rule, beloved. Are under His sovereign rule. His sovereign majesty. And His ways are perfect. His ways are perfect. Our ways are imperfect. His ways are perfect. Perfect. And absolutely nothing can be added to His works. Nothing. Nothing that we do. His work is perfect. It is finished. Finished. Nothing to be added. Nothing. Nothing. He has decreed. What He has decreed shall come to pass. And that includes all the workings out of His providence and the salvation of His people. The salvation of His people in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. And He will have compassion on whom He will have compassion. And it will be all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, our great sovereign Redeemer. I must needs go through Samaria. He must. Must. His purpose can in no way fall short of being accomplished. As David said this, "But our God is in the heavens, and He hath done whatsoever He pleased." Whatever He pleases. He can have compassion on whomever He'll have compassion, and He can save whomever He saves. And the believer says, "Praise God, He had mercy on me, an undeserving sinner." My, what a God we have. Our God is an absolute sovereign. And let us think this. If any man has a wrong view of God, then they have a wrong view of salvation in Christ alone. Most of what calls itself Christianity in our day clearly has no consideration of God as an absolute sovereign. They don't believe God's absolutely sovereign. They don't believe that. And they certainly disregard God's salvation in the saving of a sinner. And think of that. The saving of sinners by God is an outworking of His purpose. An outworking of His sovereign purpose. He saves whom He pleases. One grace preacher said this, "The whole fabric of preaching today is woven out of the threads of free will and man's benefit." What can we get out of it? Don't bother, but Those TV preachers, my goodness, they're just after people's money. That's all they are. You give us $50 and that'll be a seed thing and you're going to get even more. It's all about man. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you about a Savior who did everything. And I'll tell you about salvation that's free. It's not based on anything we've done. It's all about what Christ has done. And He dispenses it as He's pleased. And it flows out of the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ Jesus alone. And it don't cost you nothing. It's free. It cost Him. It cost our Lord, didn't it? Shedding of His own precious blood. Freely we receive. We receive it freely. Salvation's by the free grace of God in Christ plus nothing. Oh my. Religion weaves a cloth that has a beautiful appearance to the natural man, but it shall be in time shown to be completely rotten and unable to support the weight of those that cling to it for salvation. So if you have a warped view of God's salvation, it arises from a misconception of who the sovereign God of the Bible really is. Scripture declares this: salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its planning. It's of the Lord in its execution. And it's of the Lord in its dispensing. He saves whomever He will. It's all of God. Now we do come willingly, don't we? We do. We do. We do believe in Christ. We do have faith in Christ. But we're made willing, and that faith is a gift of God, beloved. And then we rejoice. Praise be to God. Hallelujah for saving my soul, Lord. My, So our text says this, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now the Hebrew word is translated, wells is also translated springs in Psalm 87:7. It says, all my springs are in thee. In Psalm 104:10 it says, he sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. These wells of salvation from which the sons of God draw with, and we draw with joy from these wells of salvation. They're not dug by the hands of man. Now men go into the desert in this time and they would dig a well out with their hands. But these wells spoken of in our text, they're not dug by the hands of man. Oh, but they spring from our Almighty God. Our Almighty God. And the scripture says, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. The wells of salvation. Number one, these wells are provided by the one who is the living water. Christ and Him alone provides these wells. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John chapter 7 verse 38. The one spoken of in that text is the one who has been born again. He that believeth on me is the one who has been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Repentance and faith are gifts from God. They're not our works, lest any man should boast. Repentance and faith, beloved, are evidence of the new birth. They're evidence of God having done a work in us. And they're both gifts from God. They're both gifts from God. Think of faith and repentance as a piece of paper, right? And the paper on one side is faith and on one side is repentance. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. Those who have been granted faith in Christ will repent of their sins. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:14. Number two, the wells of salvation flow from a spring that shall never run dry. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 58:11. They flow from a spring that shall never run dry. Never. Isaiah 58:11. We know that Scripture declares that our Savior shall not fail. And He didn't, did He? He redeemed us from our sins. Look at this in Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. How long does the Lord guide the believer? Continually. Continually. And satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. What happens when you water a garden really well and you take care of it? Everything grows. We're like a garden, and the Lord takes care of us, and waters us, and watches over us. It's wonderful, beloved. It's wonderful. And like a spring of water, look at this, whose water shall not fail. The wells of salvation spoken of in our text flow from a spring that shall never run dry. Never. And how many have drunk out of this wells of salvation? A number that no man can number. And they never run dry, beloved. Number three, the wells of salvation are the very source of joy for the sons of God. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. The very foundation of all the joy of God's elect is in the substitutionary vicarious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. What He's done for us. Think of this, without the imputation of our sins to Him and His righteousness to us, we'd be the most miserable people in the world. We'd have absolutely no foundation on which to approach the Lord our God. But look at Romans chapter 5, verse 11, it says this, and oh, what a source of joy the Lord Jesus Christ is to His people. And not only so, but we also joy in God who? Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at this though. By whom we have now received the atonement. Received the atonement. The at-one-ment. with God through the Lord Jesus Christ in Him alone. Not through our works, but through Christ in Him alone. What a Savior, beloved. Now the believer in Christ, whose sin debt is forever canceled, and who has complete acceptance before God in Christ, is secured for eternity. What can we do? Nothing but rejoice. Nothing but rejoice. Regardless of any trial that comes before us, which may befall us in this world, we know that we are absolutely secure in Christ Jesus our Lord, because it's in and through Him that we have received the atonement. And this brings great joy. This is a well of joy springing up in the believer's heart. Oh, and do we draw from that? All the time, don't we? All the time. Because when we look to ourselves, we think, oh Lord, I thank You that my salvation is not based upon me. Not based upon what I do. And I'm so thankful, beloved, that my salvation is not dependent upon my works, because I'd be in a heap of trouble. But oh, our salvation's in Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. And we've received it as a free gift. He gave it to us. Oh, it's marvelous. What a Savior, beloved. What a Savior. Is sorrowful yet always rejoicing, is poor yet making many rich, is having nothing and yet possessing all things. 2 Corinthians 6:10. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord, beloved. And that brings the believer great joy. These wells of salvation are also the very source of the strength of God's children. Turn, if you would, to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. The enemy of the sons of God would seek to rob them of the joy which the Lord has purchased for us. He would do all within His power to keep them in dark concerning the grand truth that there's no condemnation to the sons of God. The enemies of God labor to weigh them down, weigh down God's people with burdens that no man can bear, adding and mixing works and grace to something you must do. But look at what Nehemiah 8:10. It says, then He said unto them, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. No matter what barbs people throw at us, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then turn, if you would, to 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. People seek to rob us of the joy that we have, the freedom that we have in Christ, weighing us down with things we have to do. But we, by being Bereans, can look to the Scriptures and say, no, Christ alone is my hope, and I am absolutely complete in Him. And we overcome the world by Christ. Do not be discouraged, O children of the Most High God. Scripture declares this in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He's our strength. He's our hope. He's everything. The more I study Scripture, the more I realize how dependent I am on Christ. More and more. More and more. My. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Our text proclaims, and these wells are centered in Christ. He is the conduit through which God's blessings flow to His people. Through Christ and Him alone. He's the conduit, beloved. All God's blessings flow to the elect of God through Christ And God's people, with joy, we draw from the wells of salvation. We draw from the wells of salvation, which is Christ in Him alone. We draw from the well of rejoicing too. Turn, if you would, to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, we draw from the well of rejoicing. And who is the one we rejoice in? Who is the one we rejoice in, beloved? Christ. Christ in Him alone. Christ in Him alone. Before we were saved, we used to rejoice in things of the world. And now we see how fleeting those things were. And we rejoice in Christ in Him alone. Christ in Him alone. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 says this. Yet I will rejoice, again, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in who? The God of my salvation. It's God who saved me, beloved. And so would you. He's the God of our salvation. My salvation is dependent upon God. And He is the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And we have been shown that we are weak, weak, weak creatures. But the Lord God is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet. And He will make me to walk upon high places. Beloved, we rejoice because of the great things that the Lord God has done for us. For us. And He alone is our strength. And He alone is our Savior. It's incredible. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Another well that we draw from in the well of salvation is we draw from the well of God's mercy, which has been given to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Lamentations chapter 3. The mercy of God reminds us of His faithfulness. His faithfulness. In which we find great comfort. Because we who believe, we've obtained mercy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know that it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Look at this, beloved. And let this just sink into our souls, no matter what we go through in this world, no matter what the next day brings forth. Look at this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. We won't speak of our faithfulness, will we? No. We'll speak of His faithfulness. He's faithful and true. He is. He gets all the glory. He gets it all. The next well we draw from is our hope in Christ. Turn, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. We are saved by hope. Saved by faith in Christ, but our hope is totally in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sink or swim, I'll trust in Him. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even the Father, which hath loved us, how long has He loved us? With an everlasting love. And hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Good hope through grace, beloved. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The next well we draw from is the well of God's purpose. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, the well of God's purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ is the anchor of our soul, beloved. He's the anchor of our soul. He's the only hope that we have. If we hope in ourselves, we'll perish. If we hope in ourselves, we perish. But all who hope and trust and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ shall never perish. Never perish, beloved. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge. Have you fled for refuge to Christ? Oh, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope? And here, those who have fled for refuge to Christ, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. He's a sure and steadfast Savior, beloved, which entereth into that within the veil. So we draw from the well of God's purpose. And what hope the believer has in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a sure hope, an eternal hope. He's the believer's hope. And the believer's hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing else. Nothing. We come empty-handed to our Savior, don't we? Absolutely empty-handed. And the last well we're looking at, there's many, many more, but the last well of the wells of salvation is the well of eternal life, which is found in Christ Jesus and Him alone. Turn, if you would, to John 4:14, and then put your finger in Revelation chapter 7. The Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone is a well springing up into eternal life. It is in Him alone that we have eternal life. And the believer says, praise His mighty name. Look at John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's the water of life. He's the water of life. And then look at Revelation 7, verses 16 and 17. Oh, beloved, our salvation, our hope, our rest, our repose is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Look at Revelation 7, 16 and 17. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. But note, He's a living fountain of living waters, beloved. And then Revelation closes with this. And we're Revelation chapter 21. We're closed with the words of our Master. Revelation 21, 6. And He said unto me, it is done. It's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Free grace, beloved. Free grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that God would make you thirsty. If you haven't tasted of these waters, that God would make you thirst and hunger for Christ. Heavenly Father, we just come before thy throne with grateful, thankful hearts for the wells of salvation that are only found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we know that you are the source, and He is the conduit, and it flows, all the blessings flow to us. We who believe in Christ Jesus our Lord, all the spiritual blessings from thee flow to us in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we will be forever grateful for your goodness and mercy and grace bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we love you, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.